You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
We will go ahead and get started off this intimate little group. We're here to talk about So You Want to Be a Sex Podcaster. I love the title of this. I keep saying sexy podcaster. And I'm like, no, sex podcaster. That's even better. I am the moderator for tonight. For those of you who don't know me, and I think that might be one person right back there, my name is Helen E.H. Madden. I'm an erotica writer. That's two people. My name is Helen E.H. Madden. Yes. I'm an erotica writer and podcaster. I write speculative fiction erotica, which basically means anything sexy about, or anything erotic about, fantasy, horror, sci-fi, alternative history, etc., whatever my warped little mind will come up with. I do a podcast called Heat Flash. That's www.heatflash.libsyn.com. Free stories every Friday, usually about 1,000 words or less. And my first ebook is out. I've got print copies this weekend for $12 a piece. It's called Demon by Day from Mojo Castle, www.mojocastle.com. And these lovely people are, I'm going to start with her because she's got the Save the Tatas shirt.
I'm Regina. I don't need this. I don't mind it.
The visual is nice.
I'm Regina.
I'm Regina Lynn. I write a sex and technology column for Wired.com. And what else do I do? And I do the Tuesday Sex in the News segment on Playboy Radio. And I have written two books about sexuality and technology, sex tech, which will teach you how to have, I mean, why you should have a sex podcast and how that can make sex better and more frequent in your life if that's what you want. But I no longer actually do a sex podcast, but I did back when podcasting was the brand new way. Before everyone else went off and did it way better than I ever did. So I can speak to marketing it, building an audience, building community, and all of that stuff.
We're taking notes.
And I will let the actual erotica podcasters over there tell you about content.
Your turn.
I'm Amber Ray, and my friend Jenny is not here anymore, but earlier she chastised me for not mentioning my blog when I introduced myself, and frankly, I kept meaning to, but forgetting, so my blog is Being Amber Ray, if you're interested. I founded the Sex 2.0 Conference, I've co-founded the Georgia Podcast Network, and I'm not really a sex podcaster, but people keep calling me that because I talk about sex from time to time.
You give good podcasts.
Yeah, I think I do.
On that topic, I'm the one who invited you here.
Yes.
And I actually was invited you here based on a recommendation rather than having actually heard your podcast.
It's so okay that you invited me. I appreciate it.
The thing is, we listen to them and we have the sort of critical perspective on what works and what's going to get you profiled in, I don't know, Wired. For example.
Wired could be nice.
Yeah.
Nobilis.
And I am Nobilis. I am an erotica author. I have two ebooks for sale at ecstasybooks.com. I have a book that I've put on Lulu, mostly out of vanity, called Magical Clothes, which is taken from my podcast, which is Nobilis Erotica at nobilis.libsyn.com. And I present a piece of erotic fiction, usually longer than 1,000 words, at least if I'm not being lazy that week. And
I'm not lazy.
We just have different
size. Types. Doesn't matter. Keep going. Keep going.
Yes, it does.
Well, you know what? It's quality versus quantity, I think.
Yes.
I just finished a 21-episode serial, which was called Magical Clothes. That's what this book was. And now I'm doing some short stories, some of them written by other people, mostly written by me because it's just quicker that way. And
I have 12,000 more words of that one story I gave you. I could just start sending.
Based on the quality of that first one, They're perfectly welcome.
Yeah, he doesn't have any complaints, I bet. So we are talking this evening, I almost said today, and it's really almost, it is tomorrow. What are the rewards you gave me, this was the topic you gave me, the rewards and pitfalls of stretching society's comfort zones. What I really wanted to start off with is what exactly is a sex podcaster? I know what a sexy podcaster is. But what is a sex podcaster, and why you would or wouldn't define yourself, especially since you know you're here, why you would or wouldn't define yourself as a sex podcaster? So you want to start at this end this time?
There's a lot of different kinds of podcasts out there that deal with sexual material. You know, you and I we have fiction. There's a bunch of nonfiction ones like the Swingercast and Young and Kinky and then you start talking about podcasts that deal with relationships that have to do with sex, such as Polyamory Weekly. There's a lot of different kinds of podcasts, and anytime you deal with human relationships, sex comes up. And I think the reason that there is this thing called a sex podcaster has more to do with society as a whole than it does with podcasting. And it's just that, you know, any sexual content tends to be segregated.
Pigeonholed?
In the worst cases, yes. But at the very least,
ghettoized.
I think one reason that podcasts lend themselves so well to sexual content, whether it's nonfiction and interviews and advice or the erotica and fiction, is that a podcast is something you can listen to together at the same time. And I think we're more often going to do that than sit and read the same blog post at the same time, or even, you know, I might read an article and then say, oh, hey, you need to go read this article. This gesture means it's in a print form, which is something like this, or usually you're sending links to people these days. But so for something to be a sex podcast, I feel like it's a really good medium that can be private, because you might listen to it with your headphones or in your car on your speakers, but together with your person that you are or hoping to have sex with.
That's a good point. I haven't actually heard of any of my listeners saying, oh, actually, matter of fact, no. I got an email just the other day from a man who says that he listens to a podcast with his wife.
There are a lot of people that like the audio erotica to take them to bed and help them transition from the day of work, parent, chores, whatever, into lovemaking without actually having to like sit up and watch a screen and have the video.
That's so funny, because I do all my recording at the butt crack of dawn.
It's so starting my day.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to be clear that I didn't mean to say, like, when I say I'm not really a sex podcaster, I don't mean that in a way as if I think being a sex podcaster is a bad thing, because
no, we got that because we've been here all weekend.
I mean, it's just that some people, I have had experiences, interactions with people who don't want to be labeled as anything with sex in the title, because they feel like that's a scarlet letter of some sort or something, or they feel like it makes what they do seem less valuable or whatever. And I definitely don't believe that. The reason that I say it is, when I think of a sex podcast, I think, you know, categorization, is that how you say it?
Categories?
Categorization is, I think, kind of natural, and especially, like, you know, for types of media, you know, we have sci-fi podcasts, all different categories we put things in. So sex podcast, I think, is something, a podcast that deals primarily with sex, whether it's erotica or relationship advice or whatever. And on the other hand, I tend to not like categories at the same time. So I don't know, like, I just talk about sex sometimes. And I feel like I'm repeating myself now, but I've been saying, like, I talk about sex on the podcast because it's a part of my life. And so, you know, sometimes it comes up.
I actually like that, though. It's a part of your life. And that's the thing that kills me, is that you will find people who will talk about everything else but that, and that is a part of people's lives. I'm a sex podcaster because I write erotica, and we've had the discussion of what do we consider erotica to be, and I consider it to be anything that deals with any aspect of sex, whether it's the actual act itself, or if I'm talking about sexually transmitted diseases, if I'm talking about the effects of impotence on a relationship, or where my story ideas have to come from everywhere, which yours do too, because I have to write a different story every week, and you cannot write the same thing over and over again. So it's, I would say a sex podcaster is someone who's dealing with that particular aspect of life that nobody else seems quite willing or ready to discuss. And yet, it's got to be an important aspect of life because... Whether or not you're actually having it. And that itself is a sexual experience.
Well, and you have a sex life whether or not you have a partner. I mean, everybody does to some degree.
That's where, too, like I do this Tuesday Sex in the News thing on Playboy Radio. Playboy Radio is a satellite channel on Sirius. I'm such a great marketer. I don't remember what channel. 198, maybe?
Probably 69.
So the thing is, not only do you have to buy the satellite receiver and pay for your monthly Sirius service, it's just like cable TV. There's an additional charge for the naughty channels. And so, but that's the only place you're going to get sexual content on the radio at this time. And so being a sex podcaster and an erotica podcaster, you are providing a public service to let people listen to this and talk about it and get in a dialogue. It's unlike some radio. Ours is a call-in show, but podcasting is very interactive. Like, you guys want to hear from your listeners. You take suggestions and stuff like that. I think that if you're here because you are planning on starting one or contributing to one in the way of calling and leaving messages or talking to the hosts, then the bigger we can make this group, the better.
And
this
I have heard people say, people have told Rusty and I that the one thing they like about our podcast is that it isn't just primarily a sex podcast, because sometimes, unfortunately, those do tend to get pigeonholed and, we'll put those over here and everything else is here. And the way, we just talk about it, one podcast may be about a road trip that we took to some small town in Georgia, and another podcast may be about, when we went to the swingers club, and just like putting those things in, it kind of normalizes it and, maybe exposes people who might not actively seek out, a sex podcast, might get, might learn something, might become interested in something.
Understand it's okay to talk about sex.
Yeah, that it really is just a part of life.
How did everybody in here become involved in their particular podcast? I had down here, how did you become a sex podcaster? But how did you come to the decision to podcast about sex? Let's change the question that way.
Yeah, mine was, I write this column at Wired, and Wired came to me and said, we want to do a podcast. Could you please start reading your column? And that's what all our columnists are doing. We're going to read our columns in the audio. And I went, that's boring. I write to be read. It doesn't work well as spoken. So I was trying to do interviews. If my topic was this week I wanted to do an interview or something like that with someone. And there's a lot of work that goes into these things and making them professional quality so that they sound like you just sat down and went, blah, 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 and it was done. I mean, it's like the better the podcast, the more work that they put into it. And that was how I got started in it and how I realized that I was not producing the world's best. And if I couldn't produce the world's best, if I couldn't be good, I didn't want to do it like that. But so that was, to me, that bespoke a very, on their part, a lack of understanding of what a podcast is.
The message is immediate.
And the message, and it was like, if you want to read the column, you can go read the column. Why do you want me to read it to you when it's not, your stories are written, they're fiction too. Your stories translate really well to audio and are readable. Mm-hmm. My columns, not so much. Mm-hmm. So the radio show is a much better format than...
You don't see too many podcasts where somebody has taken an essay or an article of some kind and just reads it.
No,
there are a few
adapt.
People who can get away with it. Mer Lafferty is one of them. But most of the time, any nonfiction content usually comes in the form of a conversation of some sort, whether it's with people calling in or around a table or something like that.
Right, one person talking forever becomes dull in nonfiction. But that would actually be something I would like to hear from you guys, too, is how I think if you write for audio, it translates well to being read. But if you write to be read, it doesn't always translate to audio. I would at some point want to hear tips for writing for audio.
I write whatever the little voices inside my head start to say. I know I have a story when I can start to hear the dialogue, so I'm not kidding. If I start to hear the voices, then I have the story. Until I hear those things. And because I write a lot of dialogue, I don't have a problem going from the printed page to the...
There are occasions where I will edit from behind the mic and say, oh God, that phrase is going to be impossible to say in less than 20 takes. I got to reword that.
Wait till you hear me try and pronounce the names of Japanese gods next week.
That's wrong. But I got started in writing erotica in the first place because I'm married in a monogamous relationship where my wife was disabled and basically couldn't have sex for several years. And I was getting pretty damn horny. And I decided that rather than take outlets that were inappropriate and would damage my marriage, I talked to her about it, and I started posting stories online. And I posted them on various free websites like Literotica and a couple other places. And I got feedback that said, wow, this is really, really good. You're so much better than everybody else. And I'm like, wow. Maybe I can start selling it. So I started sending short stories to various places and sending stories in, and Ecstasy Books decided to carry my e-books and said, wow, I can do that. And then I discovered podcasting. I was like, well, heck, I can try that too. And the whole thing just kind of grew. Along the way, I also realized that there were probably a lot of people in a similar situation to me who could use information about it. So I started a second expression called my Well Spouse blog. It's solely in text format because I don't think I can present that in audio authentically. But it basically is an intimate look at what goes on in a marriage where sex, as anybody would ordinarily define it, is very, very difficult. And we've had, without going into detail, we've had some recent successes that I'm very satisfied with. Most people would go, is that all? But, that's how these things go. And so that's where I came from for this. I mean, all this stuff is just a physical manifestation of my inner fantasy life in a way that allows me to kind of be a little exhibitionistic without violating the covenant with my wife.
Why did you make the decision to talk about sex on your podcast?
I talk about sex.
It's just part of your life.
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to remember. Was the first sex-related podcast we did the testing the female condom one?
I think so. Yeah.
I think that was because I don't remember. How did that? I don't remember how that originally came up, but we.
At some point, we just decided we wanted.
But like,
to
why did we think of the female condom?
Well, why not? We have a recorder sitting next to the bed.
we were like, this is a public service. Yeah. This is a science experiment.
It seemed like a good idea at the time, and it was.
It was a good idea. I mean, we thought about recording all the way through. You know, with, like, recording, like, the fucking and the fumbling around and, oh, God, and what's happening here.
Would you have
here,
put
you know?
A soundtrack in the background?
I mean, like, we thought about doing that, but we thought that people would be like, oh, they're just trying to be shocking. They're just trying to push, you know, too far. So instead, we, like, had dialogue, like, before, after, and, you know, and we put in the Jeopardy music, like, in between. But there were still people who were shocked, I say, you know.
Well, because, I mean, we picked up the recorder right after, you know, and you could still hear, like, the heavy breathing.
And the breathlessness, and, like, trying to find the word. And, that, I don't remember exactly what made us think of that, but we thought... Somebody needs to test this thing out.
Well, because there wasn't, like, any anecdotal information.
Yeah, you're not going to find that in Consumer Reports. I know. I get that.
There was all this, like, sales pitch stuff about, oh, it's so easy. You can put it in hours beforehand and blah, blah, blah. And no, it's really not all that.
Well, I love that. I was an erotica writer, obviously, for a couple of years before I was a podcaster, and I am pretty much interested in doing anything that is just going to make me that much more of a freak. And there's a gentleman back there who's known me for many years who will probably tell you that that is exactly the truth. I have never wanted to be normal. I happened to stumble into erotica because I was reading through a Playgirl magazine and thought the pictures were complete crap. Then I read their readers forum and said, oh, I could do that. I got to the bottom and said, oh, they pay $100 for best story? Hell yeah, I can do that. And actually did sell them the story. And it turned out, well, I had been writing other things, but the sales I was making were always erotica. I had a handful of erotica sales. And it just turned into one of those things that was what I decided to focus on when my time became limited because of children and family and my part-time business and everything else. I could do one genre. That was going to be my genre, and I was going to do it the best that I could and wear my freak badge with pride. And I came to RavenCon last year, had not really heard about podcasting, but listened to the entire podcasting track and got... I have 2 degrees in communications. Used to work at a high school radio station, and when I heard about it, I thought, wow, how freaky would that be to be able to put that out there and actually get an audience and be reading the stories to them. It just lets me take things one step further. It lets me march to my own little drummer just that much more. And that is, it's exhibitionism in a way. It really is. It's also a challenge to me to write more because now I have to have a new story every week. Mm-hmm. And I have a deadline, and I have a schedule, and it's self-discipline, and it's what I needed to give myself a kick in the pants as an erotica writer. And now, after having done this for 8 months, going on, I think, 8 months, suddenly I'm here talking to other people about writing erotica and podcasting it. Mm-hmm. So something came out of it, and that's how it works. But advantages and disadvantages of talking about sex in a podcast or writing about sex?
I think I've talked a great deal about the advantages, I mean, as far as being able to express myself. One of the disadvantages that I've encountered is that in the course of doing so, I've kind of expanded my own horizons. My comfort zone has gotten pretty wide about what I can talk about without, you know, stammering, and what I can... And things that I feel I can put into a story and all kinds of things like that. And the people around me, not necessarily so much. On a couple of occasions, I've sent a story to someone to ask them to read it, or it was a piece of fan fiction to see if I could, you know, do a piece of fiction in their world, and they've gotten cold responses because I went too far. And I'm having to learn to retrain myself on some boundaries that I crossed on purpose and expanded on purpose, that there are other people who are not willing to do that. I've made some mistakes that I wouldn't have made if I'd been working in another genre, because it's really hard to get that kind of reaction to someone if what you're writing is just straight up science fiction or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think the advantages and disadvantages are the same as with blogging about sex, and I've been blogging longer than I've been podcasting. I've been blogging a little over 6 years, and haven't been blogging about sex right from the beginning, mainly because at first I was just a little nervous about what people would say. And I still am, honestly, I have to be honest, like, to some degree, I still am from time to time. And especially as a woman, like, you get... people make assumptions, you know, suddenly assumptions about your intellect or your availability to, like, solicit, like, don't send me pictures of your dick. That's that's not ever a good idea unless I asked you to. Like, that's just, I don't get that. And so it can be very frustrating sometimes, but the positives are, you know, learning about myself, learning about other people occasionally telling me, you know, what you wrote really spoke to me and, you know, helped me think about, you know, things in my life and just, you know, So it can be frustrating, sometimes very frustrating, but the positives there. Whenever the positives come out, it's like, aw. Yeah.
I just feel like that the there's a risk that you take in your day job career, maybe, particularly if you or your spouse is a teacher. We have such a... Our country has such a bipolar attitude about sex. Everything's so highly sexualized. We're all supposed to want it all the time. We're all supposed to be very sexual. Our media is very sexualized. At the same time, we're not supposed to be associated with it at all. And it's funny how, like, even with Sex 2.0 or some other conferences that have come together that are about sex, companies will people will tell you, oh, you know what, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But our brand cannot be associated with
sex. We couldn't get
sex.
Sponsors. We...
Yeah. So that's a risk. The other thing is once you become sort of regular and you have an audience that you're accountable for, which is awesome in terms of, ooh, I have to write this week because I want to. It also, since you don't really make any money from this or, and it's taking time, which of course is now time you can't spend doing other stuff, you have to find that balance of how much time and energy and effort do I have to sustain this now that I have people who are expecting me to do it. Some people find that very motivating. I know I did. I do. And some people find that very...
inhibiting.
It's too much pressure, and then it makes it not fun anymore. But the advantages, I think, outweigh the disadvantages because, you know, you get to talk about stuff. You get to go through your own thing. If people don't want to listen to it, they don't have to listen to it. So you're totally free to say whatever. And on the internet, somebody always wants to listen to whatever it is. And when the dialogue starts forming and like-minded people are coming together over it and you've got a community forming, I think it's very freeing in your own life, in other aspects. I've done that thing too where my appropriateness filters went way over here and I had to like pull back and be like, oh yeah, okay, middle ground. People still think I'm totally risque and inappropriate, but it's kind of funny. Whereas when I was over here, they just started kind of backing out.
That's that personal space thing we were talking about. Don't be that guy.
You can't find, you're not going to find.
Don't be that podcaster.
That sort of comfort zone if you don't.
Yeah.
I think if you don't.
I mean, I'm very much a fan of pushing boundaries. Not to the point where it's unwelcome or making people like very uncomfortable, but pushing my own boundaries definitely. Because for me, I feel like when I push my own boundaries, that's how I learn. And maybe pushing other people's boundaries, if they're people that I know and care about and trust, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe you have to be a little uncomfortable sometimes in order to learn.
I think a podcast, even if it's making someone uncomfortable, it's still a private space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can foster thinking. And we do a lot of talking about sex in this country and in our media mostly, but we don't do a lot of thinking about it or thinking about it before we speak.
Critical
yeah,
thinking.
Yeah, intelligently.
About it.
And I like the way you guys, it's just part of life. You know, yeah. I mean, and putting it in there and not being, you know, we're in our little sex area over here, and then here's everything else.
Yeah.
Podcasting changed the world.
I would say, getting to what you had said about there is no money in this, there is. I have definitely put far more in time and somewhat in money than I could ever immediately recoup. My hope is, in terms of investing, the advantage comes in that I just released this.
Right.
I had 2,000 downloads last month, and when I put the episode up on Friday, it went with an audio promo for this, which will be out there for however long
right.
it is archived. And the promo, and you know, anybody else can pick up that promo if they want it. That promo, I can run it any time. So it's, for me, it's like building an audience. Mm-hmm. And for you, it is. It's building an audience professionally, which is what a lot of podcasters of various genres are doing anyway. They are, you know, Merle Lafferty and T. Morris and all of those others are very huge on pushing on doing that. And that's right. why you did your novellas as a patio books, correct?
Well, I did, one of the other projects that I worked on was a patio book, A Foolish World, two erotic novellas by Anne Regantine. I didn't write them. Personally, I don't think my skill as a novelist is quite up to snuff yet for patio books. This is, like I said, this is a vanity.
No, it's up to snuff. You should just
no. That's
it.
Good.
I read well, it last night.
That's off topic. I did that as a, to hone my skills as a patio book producer, and to get okay, as good as I am, and my good team is better. And hone my skills, get my name out there. But one thing I was going to say was that there is a wonderful connection between the patio book and the podcast promotion thing, where that promo that you put in episode 17 for this and such an ebook is going to be there forever. So is the ebook.
Yes.
A print book is going to be on the shelf for, what, 6 months, a year maybe, if you're lucky, or 3 months, and then all the covers get stripped off and it's in the trash. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants it after that, they have to go look on eBay because that's the only place they're going to find it. And any promos you do for a print book, I don't know what all these promos for Infected are going to do once Infected's off the shelf. That's going to be an interesting time. It's interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I would have a very hard time sitting down and actually reading a print book. I have to force myself to read actual books these days because so much of my time is taken up with doing my own work, taking care of my kids, etc. And podcast books have become my main form of entertainment these days. Talking about disadvantages, has any of you ever been, I call it shot in the face for what you do? I've had only one instance out of the entire time I've been writing erotica and podcasting where I've just had somebody blow up in my face for what I do.
I had one person tell me that she didn't like erotica because it was always founded on infidelity.
Okay.
I know. She's wrong, but she...
I had somebody tell me I shouldn't be allowed within 100 yards of a school.
Oh, God. Pervert?
I was a pervert and a pedophile.
See, I don't like this idea. Like, what is it? Like, what is the problem that people have with... Like thinking that parents are suddenly asexual? Where do they think the kids came from?
Well, mine were actually miracles of science. That's right. That layer. But this was fantasy, where we weren't even going to promote ourselves as erotica and erotic romance writers because fantasy is a very family-oriented convention. Erotica writers get family. We get the whole 18 and over versus 17 and under. We really do, because a lot of us have families of our own, and we don't want to bring something that is not appropriate to forums that just aren't designated for it.
Not even we have yeah. 17-year-olds or under sexual relationships Facebook.
Yeah, you can't even do that.
Yeah.
We were going simply to promote the electronically published industry connection, because the convention was about writing, publishing, science fiction, fantasy, things like that. So we had promo material from like dozens of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and mystery writers who are e-published, and we were handing out bags of that. And we had specifically told them, we don't want anything that is above a PG rating on your promo material. Just don't send it to us. So I didn't even have stuff that I could hand out. I was handing out everybody else's stuff. And somebody came back and says, oh, that epic. Those people are nothing but pornographers and erotica writers, this, that, and the other. And this was on an online forum. And I was the one being directly attacked. And I said, actually, the E in epic stands for electronically, not for erotically published internet. We do have the erotica writers, but we're not making an appearance like that there. But it just blew all out of control. This woman was going to bring Pat Robertson and his minions to march on us, and I sat there and I'm like, holy shit. But I'm amazed that is the only time that has ever happened to me, when here I am, I have like my 39th story up on the internet, and I know I'm going to keep doing it. I'm waiting for somebody to just really come and blow me out of the water.
You know what I'm wondering with podcasting? You're making such a personal connection, and it's your voice, and you're obviously a person. I get crap all the time. My stuff is text. I mean, my column is text. And a lot of the flame that I get is also in text. So they're not. I'm not a person. I'm wired. And in fact, half the time, the flame that I get sent is actually for some other column, and it just came to me for no reason. But when I get blasted for something I said, it's, my column is a much higher quality than my podcast was able to be. And all I ever got from people who bothered to call in for the podcast was, you know, like either dialogue or I disagree with you, but it was like a well thought out, nice disagreement. Because
yeah.
I think I was a person once I became a voice, when you're just text. So that's another advantage of doing this as a podcast. And not only as...
And I wonder how much of that is effort or, like, perceived effort. Because, like, I can't even... I've lost count of the number of bullshit comments and people spouting off at the mouth about, you know, everything that's wrong with what I've written, you know. And, but, I mean, I wonder if it's just because it's easier for somebody to sit there and real quick be like, oh, and blah, 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 here's what I think about why you suck, versus calling and, like, having to actually hear themselves
and
say that.
And
realize
that's yeah. their voice that's going out there, and it's going to be archived.
And I don't tend to get blasted on what I've actually written. I get blasted on, you know, you're a whore.
Right.
And I'm like, really? Because I'm not making that kind of money when I'm writing. You know,
you're a word whore.
I want to be a really good erotic healer.
Else.
Anyway.
Yeah, that is somebody else.
But so it's just the fact that I'm writing about sex in general.
Right.
And my column doesn't even have, like, erotica in it. The most I can get away with at Wired is the occasional wink, wink, nudge, nudge tease. So I just think that's funny that I'm a woman who writes about sex in a men's magazine. Therefore,
well, you're branded, you know, you write about sex as a woman and, you know, you're a whore or you're ugly and you can't get laid or like, it's always one of those things, you know, which is it, you know?
Yes. I think that
am I hideous or am I a slut? Come on, just pick one.
Which one is it?
Right.
Wait, you obviously are getting feedback. Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, to your earlier comment I found, because I am 50, that people seem to think at a certain age you're supposed to stop and not be interested. I'm like, okay, that's just crazy. I mean, because my porn collection is like totally out of control. And it's going to stay that way.
And see, I've written about that, and there are actually people who have anthologies. I'm in an anthology called Ripe Fruit. It's Marcy Shiner was the editor for that.
Oh.
And she was looking for stories about sex for people over, I can't even remember what it must have been, like 50 and over, because I remember my aunt asking, what the hell do you know about sex when you're over 50? I said, I must have known something. I sold the story. But there are specific calls for anthologies like that. And when you want to talk about pushing boundaries, the one boundary you can push is age. And can you write about the difference in age? What happens when you really are writing about older women and much younger men? I've gotten some comments back on that. Nobody's ever actually come up into my face to shoot me in the face for that one. But the erotica publishers put out these calls for submission. They understand. In fact, they would like you to continue to have an interest in erotica for as long as you're alive, because they want you to continue to buy the stuff. But yes, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that people seem to assume, well, you hit 35, I guess, and that's it. It's over. And I think the one thing that sex podcasts can do is say, I'm sorry, I passed 35 a few years ago. I don't have no idea how old anybody else is. I'm not going to guess.
I've passed it.
Yeah. Now, I will say I don't have a lot of sex, but then I have two very small children. So that's that problem right there. Entirely different track. But yeah, you're right. It's it doesn't stop at 50. In fact, it gets a lot more interesting once you get to that age. And I'm hoping to be 70 and still putting out stories in whatever media we have when we get to that point 31 years down the line. You've talked about getting feedback. You're getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting a lot, did you get a lot of feedback for the podcast or just the
For the podcast, yeah, and I don't know if that was because at the time I did the podcast, people were used to reading the column every Friday, and so they were just adding on to this other thing. But it was also, my format was, I did a couple, you know, here's what's going on in sex tech this week. I did some interview, I did outtakes that got cut out of the column and things like that. So it was more of a, and I kept it really short. I mean, I tried to stay in 5 minutes. This was sort of supposed to be just quick and fun and done. but yeah, I did get a lot of feedback. I had a, you can get online, you can get a free voicemail line that people can call and leave their message. And then, of course, you have it online, so it's already in a digital format, so you can drop it into your podcast. So I was really trying to do a lot of, here's the topic I'm writing about next week, call in, and then I could do it, splice them in and put my commentary around it. So, but I had the advantage of already being a writer at Wired, and so I think I was probably reaching more audience through the column when I started doing audio.
Okay.
So people were just kind of checking it out in the beginning. And that is something with doing this, if you, so you want to be a sex podcaster, is you were talking earlier about, you know, I had said, well, you don't make any money from it right now. But you do build your expertise, you build your audience, you build your own skills, and who knows where it's going to go. Yeah. And this is the beginning of it. Like, it's not too late. Way too late to get going as a blogger now. It's been around for, what, 7 years? Oh, my God. Old media.
Yeah. Look at Earl Newton.
That's right.
The bleeding edge of podcasting. Have you gotten a lot of... go ahead.
I was just going to add, after this podcasting, are we including video podcasting in this discussion?
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let's go.
No, sure. I don't know if any of us have actually video podcast, but sure.
The thing is, a podcast doesn't have to be audio or video. There are a number of PDF podcasts where you, in your feed, a PDF document drops into your...
That's weird to me. Like, I know it can be, but...
It's used for graphic novels.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a use for it that actually makes sense.
And it's
sense
also used for flyers for...
So they call it a podcast, but that, to me, that, I mean, that's a feed. Podcasting, I guess, is just an audio feed.
It's a distribution format.
Yeah. Yes. Podcasting is a way of distributing content that is in the form of a file rather than just raw text on a screen.
Because I had wondered about PDFs. I was like, what would be the use for that?
But, I can tell you a lot of uses, but then I also draw dirty pictures in addition to writing dirty stories, and I could... We'll go some other route now. Did you get a lot of feedback? Do you get a lot of feedback whenever you do? Yeah.
We're starting to get more. Nobilis is a frequent voicemail leaver.
Imagine that.
I know, and I just love it. I wish more people would leave half the voicemails that he leaves.
half. No, I'm kidding.
For me, it's the blowjob principle. If you get something you like, you tell the person that you liked it. And that way you're more likely to get another one.
Most people call that the feedback.
I like this way
like
better.
The blowjob principle.
Yeah. Yes.
No,
but
no,
it is.
You should have a link on your site. Leave me a blowjob here.
Little icon that you
get. I was thinking that.
How could you make the panelists turn red?
Right. No, I'm just suddenly thinking I need to put something up on the blog. Are you a cunning linguist? Leave us feedback.
It comes actually from the free erotica world, the people who post stories in places like ASSTR.org and Lit Erotica and stuff like that. It's, you know, the only payment that these people get is feedback, and so therefore, when you like something you've read, and if you read it through the end, you better have liked it unless you're kind of a weird masochist. If you read it through the end, there's usually on these sites a feedback form.
Right.
And you just and send it in. And that, you know, if you want the person to give you another one, you tell them that it was a good one. And so that's the way I look at podcasts that I listen to. And when I hear a podcast that touches me and that I think is a good example of what a podcast should be, if they have a phone line, I call it in. I've got I use this cell phone for sending it in, so this is a number that comes up in their thing, so my home number doesn't come in. And I have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
You got them all on speed dial.
I got them all in my phone book.
Nobilis, I think you're a geek.
But you make me feel like I have to, I need to step up my game.
I hear him on all the podcasts I listen to because he and I are similarly geeky.
Right.
And I sit there and I go, how the hell does he find time to do this?
It takes a minute.
Do you know what a minute means to me?
Well, first of all, I'm usually listening to podcasts when I'm doing chores. Because when I come home from work, the first thing I'm doing is making dinner. And the next thing I'm doing is getting kids in bed. And all that stuff, there's a good 3 hours in there of mindless drudgery that I've got the earbuds in my ears because my brain has got to be doing something while my body is going through these motions.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about mindless drudgery and podcasting after this. But.
And so if I hear something that I like, I will pull out my cell phone, walk out on the front porch, because I usually don't want the kids hearing what I have to say.
Hi, this is your weekly blowjob.
I'll call up, leave a minute or two of feedback, and occasionally somebody will get my dander up, and I'll leave a 5-minute screed, and do that. And I tell you something, I have had people come up to me in cons and follow my Twitter feed solely based on my feedback on other podcasts, because they don't listen to mine. They just hear my name coming up all the time in the podcast that they listen to.
And dude.
Talk about getting your name out, though.
Exactly.
So see if you
want
to make your podcast known, call Feedback Line.
And there's also a fairly common practice, it should be more so in my opinion, of when you call in, hi, this is Nobilis from the Nobilis Erotica podcast, and here's what I think. And I usually do it the first few times I call in a podcast. I figure after I've done it once or twice, anybody who knows probably got my URL. And nobody says, oh, there goes Nobilis again promoting his podcast, because I give, 3 seconds of my URL and then some try to contribute to whatever it is that I'm
well, I do hear a lot of people doing that, and that is a tip if you are podcasting. And
not
you
just
want
if you're a podcaster, if you're a listener and you like what you hear and you want to hear more of it, call them up, email them.
Yeah.
If you have any kind of recording equipment, even if it's just a headset that you use for Skype, record what you want and send them an MP3 file of what you think.
Because the two of us, this was the question I was about to talk to you about, they get feedback on a fairly regular basis.
Well,
have you had more than 5 feedback comments?
Yes.
Okay.
But also a lot of
get feedback on a fairly regular basis.
We've been podcasting. Rusty and I have been doing our podcast for over 2 years. And it feels like we get sort of few and far between, and it's just recently starting to get more and more. But with the sex with the podcast specifically that deal with sex, most of the feedback from those that we get is emails. We don't get people leaving text comments or calling in voicemails as much, and I think it might be because people might not feel comfortable saying some of these things in a public forum, but we do get people emailing and saying, thanks for this podcast, and, stuff like that.
Whereas you and I are standing on the brink of the canyon shouting out into the void, you know
what it is,
and
though?
We're listening.
It's fiction. People listen to the story. They take it for granted. It's a wonderful story. They're listening. And then they do, when it's over, they wait for the next one. Whereas with our nonfiction radio podcast, whatever, it's
nonfiction
more like
fiction
we're putting questions
discussion.
Out. We're wanting discussion. We're going, oh, here's our guest this week. It's this person. Well, all that person's listeners
and that does
are calling
invite
in, too.
Discussion.
So that's
that, is,
a different,
that is a good point. That does invite discussion.
What you should do is get them right up to there and then go, if you want to hear the climax, you need to call in and tell me which way you'd like it to go.
Who was it this weekend who said they like to set their patio books on shuffle because it's like, choose your own ending.
That wasn't on purpose. He did it by accident. He listened to Merle Lafferty's Wasteland on shuffle.
I accidentally did that with one of the Harry Potter novels. I'm like, wait.
Oh my gosh. My iPod tends to play chapters in reverse order, which screws me up. I can't download more than one episode of something, or I go through the damn book backwards. But
yes,
Rusty.
Yes. I just want to throw one thing out there about limitations on feedback is people's listening habits can affect that too. I know most of the time when I listen to podcasts, it's when I'm working out in the morning, and I don't have access to any way to immediately provide feedback.
You cannot sit there in the YMCA.
And I have to remember to do it later, and that automatically means I'm going to end up doing it less. And I feel kind of bad about that because I like to be reciprocal and to give other people feedback, but it's a little like more difficult.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be right after you've listened.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just have to remember to do it, and I understand what he's talking about.
I have one listener who once a month goes through his feed. And he uses Juice, which gives you a list of all the podcasts that you're subscribed to, and just goes, do I have anything to say to any of these? I remember that. He sends off an email. He goes down to the next one. Oh, I remember that. This person hasn't sent me anything in a while. I'm going to send him an email to say he hasn't sent me anything in a while, and I'm going to miss it. You know, he does it that way.
He's not actually
listening. But, you know, he's kind of jogging his memory about them as he goes down the list.
Yeah, and that is a good idea.
I should probably start doing that.
Let's see.
I'd like to say also on the feedback question, fiction doesn't invite much feedback because usually it's just, oh, I liked it. Now, I'm happy to get that, but a lot of listeners don't think that that's of any value. And so I try to make it clear as often as I can that I am an attention whore. And I do want to hear it when people...
We have two.
You know what's funny about that is when you... I sent in an excerpt from something I'm working on that was erotic. Nobilis put it on his podcast. His wife did the reading. I got email feedback on the story. And they didn't CC you. I got it directly. So you must have sent my name and my
.com or something. I just said that it was by you and there's a link on
To my website, which had my email. So I got 5 pieces of feedback on my story that ran on your podcast that apparently you didn't get the feedback on.
I did not get those.
Sorry.
She'll forward those as soon as she gets home.
That story has been one of my most popular. People have come to get that story.
Which one was that?
Listen to it. I've forgotten the title of it.
I'll look it up when I get there. I just call it The Story. I don't remember either.
We did work out a title for it because it is an excerpt.
I don't remember.
But I look at my stats on Libsyn and there's bing, bing, and these people are coming to get that story and then...
I wonder if they're coming from like my blog post on it or my column on it. I didn't put a column on it, but something somewhere where they're finding it some other way. So that's another... tip for the sex podcasters is make friends with the sex bloggers. It's all about cross promotion. It's one big sex
networking
orgy.
Networking, and then that's orgy. Actually because we have the Erotica charity anthology that's coming out in June from Coming Together. It's Coming Together with Pride. I volunteered for the editor to put together an audio promo to run in my podcast and do other podcasts, you know, other podcasters I can send it out to. Mm-hmm. And she is extremely happy about that, which is a connection for me as a writer with an editor that I do this for free. I gave her the story for free. It's, you know, it's a great charity thing to do. She's an award-winning writer and editor herself, so... It is networking. It is you volunteer something to other people, and you will get something back at some point later on down the line. We have got about 5 minutes left. Does anybody want to? Anybody have any more questions? First off,
5 minutes is a long time for questions.
Five minutes. Yeah, we can do quickies.
Okay. I have a podcaster that I've been in touch with who goes by the pseudonym of Ellie Lampass.
Oh yeah,
she's got a very interesting new.
She was twittering on stage during a boob contest at 6.0, and that's anyway.
But I've been talking to her about how she can get more listeners, and I've said, well, you know, take the podcasts that you listen to and comment on them and talk and engage your fellow podcasters because that's where you're. You know, at least starting out, where your primary listenership is going to come from. Yeah. And she says, well, I don't really like a lot of podcasts. I'm like, well, maybe you're doing the wrong thing. If you don't like podcasts to listen to, maybe you shouldn't be.
But if you like three of them, you could stop.
But I have to be honest, I don't really like a lot of podcasts either. And it's not that I don't like them. It's just I don't listen, like.
It's not your preferred.
I don't really like listening to. Yeah. I mean, I like watching video even less. And I like.
Oh, that was where video is a question, because I keep seeing more video podcasts, video this, video that. I resent video when they don't include text, because I am always researching for my next column, my next article, my next whatever, and I need to be able to skim. And you cannot skim video. And one thing I really appreciate is like show notes or the Polyamory Weekly. Polly
Hers
Weekly.
Are great.
She does, and she puts in the little time codes. You know, 3 minutes we talked about this, and then at 6:10 we talked about this. And
well, actually, she doesn't do that. She has somebody.
Somebody does that, but she posts that. I mean, somebody posts that, which makes it for especially for a text oriented person like me. I can go in, I can skim what's in this episode. Go, oh, you know what? That's the thing that I want to know. Get the audio, get right to there and cue it up, and then I can listen to it. I mean, I don't commute for work. Well, I do. I work 400 miles away from where I live.
I see the time codes that people put in there, and I've never thought about putting a time code in. Because I do focus on the word count of the fiction, I list the word count.
Yeah, right.
This story was 98 words. Here's the title, and here's the theme for the month.
And that, I mean, and again, and that's the fiction.
And that's the fiction. It's word count for me.
But if you, and if you gave me, and I am going to go subscribe to your podcast tomorrow.
Love you.
I totally am. But if you give me the first, say, paragraph of your fiction story, or the, you know, or if it's 98 words, give me the first 5 words, give me a percentage, so that I'm skimming along, and I see this, and my eye is going to read it before my brain catches on that I'm reading, and suddenly it's like, must, you know, and then I'll listen to it. Yeah. Right then and there. And
that's
so
what
as a
we
marketing
all talk
thing,
about next year is effective show notes.
Yes, definitely need to have
those little things.
Yes, and how to put together show notes.
And especially
and
if you're going to do a little...
podcasters now that you see badly done show notes or not done show notes. And
better not to do something than to do it badly, in my opinion. So, publicly.
Well, we are getting down to the end here, so... Is it nappy time? Bedtime? Thank you all very much. If you have any questions, please feel free to come up and talk to us. I'll be here until sometime tomorrow morning when I got to take off back to the real world.
No.
We do have, everybody does, she's got books.
I left the business cards.
You left
in the
business
hotel
cards.
Room, but...
We do have books, business cards.
I had postcards that had my email on it. But if you remember my name, if you Google Regina Lynn, you get me. If you Google Gina Lynn, you first get the porn star, then you get me. So,
well, it's nice to know that you're in the rankings.
Well, you know, I used to write Sex Drive with Gina Lynn was my title, and I didn't know that Gina Lynn is a porn star. One, I didn't know how famous she was, so I started getting all of her emails. And so
well,
that's
I didn't write about that.
And the thing is, she wrote a column for one of the adult trade magazines, XBiz or AVN or something. And so I was getting a bunch of email that was like, love your column, love your films. And I'm like, I was an extra in the re-release of Star Wars, but I'm this big and I'm on the screen so fast, that can't be what they're talking about. So I changed my byline to my full name, which is Regina. But I still get, I've been writing a column for 5 years, I still get her email sometimes. Makes me wonder what she gets that's meant for me.
Well, anyway, there you go. Thank you. We are your pornographic podcast.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And we do appreciate you coming and listening to us
talk.
Thank you
all very much.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of UnConcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.